My dear brothers and sisters, in today's readings, we find rich material to meditate upon the will of God. In today's gospel, we see God calling Andrew and his brother Simon to become disciples of Jesus. We find in today's first reading how God is cultivating Samuel from his youngest age to be his servant. And in the psalm teaches us to pray, "Here I am, Lord, I come to do your will." We need to understand the will of God in a particular way. The will of God is that which God intends, but there's also the will of God which he simply permits. And that's an important distinction. God created a beautiful world. Did he intend it to be disfigured by sin, its harmony ruptured, his friendship rejected? Certainly not. But he permitted all of that to happen because he respects the freedom of our will, even when we misuse that will to choose against God. But God never allows evil to have the last word. So even in the brokenness of our world, even when we have sinned, God brings good even out of evil. Now, it's with that understanding that we come to another important point that you and I need to understand about God's will. God's will is often at variance from our expectations. Think about it in today's gospel. Simon and Andrew were fishermen. They lived in Galilee. And yet, they were willing to lay aside everything to follow Jesus. They could have expected one thing when they heard and they saw, this is the Messiah. But to them, the Messiah was to be a conquering general. He was going to throw the Roman oppressors out. He was going to have everything established with flourishing. And instead, when John the Baptist announced Jesus as the Messiah, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," that is a sacrificial title of the Messiah, the one who will be slain to restore peace with God. He could have said, "Behold the Lion of Judah," another messianic title. And wouldn't we like it if Jesus appeared as that lion roaring and throwing the bums out? Oh yes, they would have enjoyed that, seeing the Romans run like scaredy cats before the Lion of Judah. And we would very often like that too in the brokenness of our world, in the challenging situations we find ourselves in. We would love to have Jesus come and roar and restore everything just the way it should be. Expectations don't match up with how God is at work. And when that happens, it can lead to disillusionment and resentment, anger, and despair. So let's learn from today's readings how to approach God and to trust in his will, even when it means set aside our expectations. Simon had a reasonable expectation that he was named Simon. He would always be called Simon. Jesus changed his name. Jesus changed his country. Simon died in Rome instead of fishing peacefully on the Sea of Galilee. Expectations, my dear brothers and sisters, if we keep holding on to them, it leads to a great frustration and an inability to trust God. Let's turn to the figure of Samuel in today's first reading. Samuel's mother had been unable to conceive a child, and she was ridiculed for it. She prayed, and her prayer was answered. In thanksgiving, she gave Samuel to be raised at the temple. Eli, the high priest, was his mentor. Eli and Samuel are the last two of the judges of Israel. That is, God would send particular people with a mission to help the chosen people of Israel in times of difficulty. And so we find Samuel standing at this transition point between the judges and the kings. Samuel was in fact to become a judge because Eli's sons were unworthy. And then later on, Samuel would find his own sons unworthy. And that's when the people of Israel clamored, "You know what? Enough of this judging stuff. Everybody else around us, all these other nations, they have kings. We want a king too." And by so doing, God told Samuel, "They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." For you see, a judge was a person that didn't necessarily come from one family. A judge was a person that was raised up by God to face a particular challenge. And the people of Israel no longer wanted to rely on God to lead them in that way. They wanted their own human dynasty. And so God gave them King Saul, who proved himself to be corrupt and a tyrant. And after Saul, Samuel was sent to anoint David. And after David, here finally we would find a king that was pleasing to God, and yet he eventually became an adulterer and a murderer. And after he repented, his son Solomon was renowned for his wisdom. But Solomon died foolish and unfaithful. And Solomon's son then presided over the splitting apart of the kingdom. Not what you would expect of God's chosen people. Not what you would expect of God's anointed leaders. But God permitted it and brought good out of it. So you and I, if we look at the year 2020, I don't think it met any of our expectations. And the way 2021 is starting out, I don't think any of us would write the story this way either. So what does it mean to let go of our expectations and follow the will of God? For you see, we spend a lot of energy complaining about how things aren't the way they should be. We shake our fist at the TV or the computer screen. We spend all of this negative energy instead of going to the one place where we could do something positive, turning towards the Lord and saying, "Lord, here I am. I come to do your will." How is it that you and I fail to recognize that what will change the world for the better is not an election or a peace treaty or a social program? What changes the world for the better is when we become saints. Each one of us. When we do the will of God for our lives, it becomes a ripple effect. We bring the light of Christ to those around us. So let's examine our prayer life. What do we do when we pray? Do we use our time of prayer to try and persuade God to see things my way? Do we take Samuel's beautiful prayer, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening," and turn it upside down? "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking. I've got an idea of what should happen here, Lord. Make it happen." Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Thy will be done. It's not a smooth ride through history. Not for the chosen people of Israel thousands of years ago, not for us today. We can't control it, we can't fix it, it doesn't meet our expectations. But God is present in the midst of this mess, and God invites us to trust Him. God invites us to do His will and to be the instrument by which He changes the world for the better. My dear brothers and sisters, the challenges around us are not going to disappear. You and I need to find the way through the ups and downs by staying close to God and allowing Him to bring good even out of evil. All throughout the history of Israel, there was a cycle that was repeated. God blessed the people. They enjoyed the blessings, became complacent. They strayed and were unfaithful. God permitted evil to come upon them, usually an invading army. The people cried out for help, repented of their sins. God sent a judge to solve the problem. The people rejoiced. The people became comfortable. The people became unfaithful. God allowed an evil to come upon them. The people repented and cried out. Over and over, this cycle repeats. Over and over. You and I are called to be the ones who cry out to the Lord, who commit ourselves to be faithful to His will, and allow Him then to raise up for us a solution to the problems around us and to bestow His blessings upon us again. It's not an easy path, but easy paths don't make saints. So rather than complain about the situation we find ourselves in, let's look inside and say, Lord, You're going to use all of this to stretch me and to make me a saint. Help me to respond generously that I might let You create from this mess all of the Christ-like virtue that I need in my heart to be pleasing to You and to be Your light to the world.